You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
All right, it's that time. It's a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We're ready to hit our marks and we're going to do it right now. I'm York Walker.
Edward Moeta.
Ian Field Stewart. They, them, she, her.
Saycon Simbla.
I did it wrong already. But anyway, it was good. We had a whole plan. Auntie Saycon led me through it. I didn't even do it. But listen, y'all, I need you to understand who's in the room right now.
Yes.
The genius.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
The goddess. Mm-hmm. The melanated queen. Saycon Simbla is in the room.
Yeah.
If you do not know who Saycon, I mean, let's not even play like you ain't know who Saycon is. Like, we ain't gonna do that. We just ain't gonna do that. But in case you aren't familiar with what she's doing, like, right now, she is a Tony-nominated actress. Right. She's currently seen as Jules in the CW series In the Dark. Mm-hmm. Also, Mama was over here in Scandalland hanging out with Olivia Pope
and Fitz.
giving you absolute FBI director realness, Miss Angela Webster. And as a Scandal stan, I have seen Miss Saycon do this role many times, and I can promise you it's always excellent every time. She never let that white man get anything over her, and we loved it. Next on her, her prestigious bio is such things as The Secret Life of Bees this summer, which, oh my gosh, was amazing. If you ain't see Secret Life of Bees, I don't really know what to tell you. Like, why ain't you living right? Why don't you love yourself? Like, what's good? Like, why don't you love yourself? Come on, baby. What's good? It's Saycon. She's here. And then we're just going to list a couple other things on here. You know, casually eclipsed the Drama Desk Award, the Tony Award nomination. It's so annoying. Mm-hmm. She has Holler If You Hear Me, Motown the Musical, Fela, The Color Purple, Hair. And, oh, by the way, she was just, like, the first black Elphaba in Wicked. Amen. So, like,
on
what's
March
good on that?
5th.
Talk about it.
March 10th, 2005.
Talk about it. So It was the first time, and she does it. You can also see her on the television in American Gangster, Double Play, Across the Universe. Girl, I'm like losing my sight. There's so many amazing things on here. TV, Passage, The Night Of, 10 Days in the Valley, The Good Wife. Yep. I mean, like, what more can we say?
Booked.
Like,
verified.
Saycon is here, so like, let's just give like a little small applause.
Woo!
Thank you so much for being here today. Oh, yes, that's correct. My bad. So, Auntie Saycon, get me together. See, I was going to try to cut it short, and she said, no, don't do it. You also can ask Alexa to open Westworld The Maze, and you will hear Saycon as the voice of Rose, the madam of the audio game. Mm. Saycon will also appear in Respect, the Aretha Franklin biopic as Irma Franklin.
Yes.
So excited.
And also, listen, y'all, if you want to get your... How often is your podcast released? Weekly?
It's going to be a lot more often now.
Ashe?
Yes, just check for it.
If you look up Saycon Talks! Point, or you can also visit Saycon Singlo.com. My God, are you tired? Are you just, you're smiling in front of our faces. I also have to give out one more personal shout out, which is that Broadway Black will be hosting an event on March 15th, this coming Friday. You are in a workshop production of, is there anything right, Bayano?
I'm not in the production.
Oh, you're not in it. You're hosting it. That's
hosting
right.
I'll be hosting the talk bag, hosting the production. I'm very excited. It's going to be a really dope evening. So please, everybody, come out.
Absolutely. And our own Ramaj Jamar is doing costume and set design for that workshop production. So want to get out and support.
Jeffrey Page. So it's going to be really, I'm really excited.
It's going to be dope. We're so excited. Y'all, she here. It's amazing.
So let's just jump into to.
Wow.
Truly.
Wow.
So Respect.
Yes.
How does it feel to be a part of such an incredible TV series?
First of all, let me correct and clarify. There are two different projects.
Right.
There is the Genius project that is going to be on television that National Geographic is doing, but there is a feature film.
Right.
MGM feature film starring Jennifer Hudson.
Right.
That's the production that I'm a part of.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yes. I'm so sorry.
Directed by Liesl Tommy.
Right.
And shout out to the other production with Cynthia Erivo.
Right, 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 right.
Covington. I love those ladies. Mm-hmm. They're going to be in the the National Geographic. It's a series. Right. We were all shooting down in Atlanta, so it's super confusing. Yeah. Right. two totally different projects. I'm in one with Jennifer Hudson.
Okay.
And it's a feature film coming out this fall.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
So how did that come to you?
Audition. I was very pleased to have worked with Liesl Tommy before. Liesl Tommy, who's directing this big old movie, directed Eclipsed on Broadway and off Broadway. And I had worked with her before, and as soon as I heard about it, everybody and their mama was texting me like, you know Liesl's directing, you know Liesl's directing. I'm like, you think I ain't gonna be like, Liesl, what's up?
Right. Yeah, okay. You know
what
I'm
saying? So,
but not that she would necessarily care, because she's about her business. If she wants you, she wants you. If she don't think you're right for it, she's not gonna, you know, push anything, fake the funk.
Right.
I had to audition. I had to get approved by the studio. I went in there and I laid my acting down. I laid my vocals down. I actually auditioned for two other roles before the role that I actually got. So I was very pleased to play Irma Franklin. Irma, so just a little history with Aretha Franklin and her family. I always would kind of compare them to the Braxtons in a way, because it's a very much a family affair where the sisters sang with her. When you're listening to an Aretha Franklin song, a lot of times the backgrounds that you hear are her sisters and her cousin singing on those backgrounds. Her father, Reverend C.L. Franklin, played by the wonderful Forrest Whitaker, was a huge pastor and a huge speaker in the world. He was more famous than on the speaking set. He was more famous than the young Martin Luther King who came up behind him. Like historically, you're going to get a lot of history when you see this film. And so you just get to see this family affair and how her career, Aretha Franklin's career, just took off. Irma was also, who I play, was also a singer as well. And Carolyn Franklin was a songwriter, and she wrote a lot of the hits that people love to hear Aretha sing. So it was very much a family affair. So
great.
What was that set like for you? What you can tell us, you know.
I know.
The little insights you can give us,
yes,
you know.
I know how to give insights without messing up my NDA.
Right. Okay. Hey, period.
I signed my paper.
She said, listen, I am booked and signed. I'm a professional. Yes. I do these things.
Yes.
You heard the bio. You know what's up.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I was just so pleased to be a part and to witness Liesl, like having worked with Liesl before on Eclipsed and seeing how she commands a room, how she makes no apologies for what she's doing and getting what she needs to get done. And me being, this is a couple of years later, we did Eclipsed with Lupita Nyong'o. We did that in 2016, fall of 2015. Off Broadway, and then we went to Broadway 2016. So this has been a couple of years later, and now here I am seeing Liesl directing at the helm of this big old movie.
Right.
You know? So the thing that happens when there are big movies like this, movies that involve music, that involve acting, true characters that are based on real people, there's history, there's just so much to contain, and just to watch her manage all of that was just amazing. And also we had, shout out to just people who are like family to me, Leland Duran Thompson, who has been my acting coach for some time and who was the acting coach on the film, as well as, Jason Michael Webb, Stephen Bray. They were at the helm for music, and I'd worked with them on Color Purple originally. And, it's just, it was just amazing. It was just really, really amazing. You guys, anybody who ever slept on Jennifer Hudson or didn't realize how fly she was, besides the amazing voice, besides the accolades, her acting, her beauty, how she represented on this set is just so amazing. I don't know how she did it, because she would be doing our project and then promoting other projects. You know, she had other things coming out.
Right.
She would be traveling. And I just hats off to her, hats off to everyone, and just being able to just see that example and be around Marlon Wayans, you know, the baby of the Wayans family, but a grown ass man.
All right.
just really witnessing all this talent and being right there with them. It was just really, really special. Also, the thing that made it really special was that I was shooting in Atlanta, and I grew up in Atlanta.
Yes, Southern girl. Circle.
Yeah, so this is the first time I I shot The Passage in Atlanta as well, but I hadn't filmed in Atlanta in a long time. Mm-hmm. Mostly, even when I grew up in Atlanta, whenever I would book a movie, I would fly out to North Carolina or New Orleans or something to shoot. Mm-hmm. So this is like the first time in a long time that I was like filming in Atlanta, mm-hmm. which was really powerful. I was able to have some family come on set.
That's amazing.
You know, which so my family funny. Has never been on set with me. They come to see me on live, you know, Broadway shows, theater. Right. Mm-hmm. But to be on set with me, you know, like to have my
brother.
Did
they act right or did they act
they
out?
They did.
That's good. That's good.
You know, just like seeing my brother, meeting Forrest Whitaker, you know, it was just so special to me. You know
love
what I mean?
That.
So yeah, it was great.
That's amazing. So you grew up in it. Did you always know that this is what you wanted to do, being on stage, being an actor and singer, or?
I wanted to be Janet Jackson. Little girl?
She had very low aspirations.
Yes, what little girl did not want to be Janet Jackson? I thought I was going to be Janet Jackson or Sade or Tina Turner something. And I didn't quite understand that there was such a thing as like musical theater where you could sing and act. Mm. I wanted to be a pop star, and then I also wanted to be Sophia Loren and just be this glamorous international lady in movies speaking foreign languages is mm-hmm. what I wanted to be. And my life sort of took it. I went to a performing arts high school, and everything just kind of took a life of its own. Mm-hmm. My mentor, Mr. Freddie Hendricks, shout out to Freddie. His mom just passed away, RIP. Mm-hmm. He was a theater teacher and mentor to a lot of people. The school that I went to, Tri-Cities High School, is the school that Outkast came out of, some members of Escape,
yes.
Jagged Edge,
wow.
Kenan Thompson.
Which school did you go to?
Tri-Cities mm-hmm. High School and Magnet Program for Visual and Performing Arts. Sa right. Galja, who starred in Fela with me.
Right.
Christine Horn, who's a wonderful actress, speaker, and she's been on Broadway, TV, film. Just so many people, that came out of that program and were a part of the Freddie Hendricks Youth Ensemble of Atlanta. And I was a part of that, and I started with it, and I just kind of kept going. I think I thought I was going to be teaching Spanish. I love language. I really love language. Mm-hmm. So when I was in college, I majored in Spanish, and then I would do my acting classes, my vocal classes on the side, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. But then I just kept doing it. I would book a little something and the school would let me leave and I would come back. That's the thing that happens when you don't go to a performing arts conservatory is you actually can work professionally when you're not at a conservatory.
Ooh.
Conservatories usually don't let you work professionally.
Right. Absolutely.
Just FYI. For those who go the altered route,
right.
I always
yeah.
say, you know, I'm mm-hmm. always on set with people who went to Juilliard, NYU, Carnegie Mellon, mm-hmm. Yale. I did not go to any of those schools. I went to Agnes Scott College. I did not get my degree. I majored in Spanish. I minored in theater. I minored in music.
Mm-hmm.
I left school and I just kept performing. And my route has been sort of slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah.
But I continue to move forward. So that's kind of the short version of it.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
I didn't necessarily think that I was going to be on Broadway. In fact, after I did my first Broadway show, which was Aida. Mm-hmm. No, I'll say even after I did my first tour, which was a Broadway tour, Rent. After I did that tour, I was like, yay, I've done a tour. And then I was all prepared, went back home, you know, and then I booked another show. Malik Yoba had a play. And I was like, yay, I've done a show with Malik Yoba. And then I went back home. And then when I booked Aida, I was like, wow. And then I did the tour and then they were like, come to New York. And I was like, New York? That's when I was like, oh, wow. Okay. But then even after that, I went back home. I never thought that I would keep, you know, like 15 years later, just keep doing it.
So when did you officially move to New York to stay?
Officially, I moved when after, I guess I had done my third tour after Aida, when I got transferred. I always look at Broadway shows like football teams. Like you can be on the, you can be on the Raiders, you can be on the Falcons, you can be on the Dolphins, whatever, right? And depending, they need a quarterback over here. They you know what I'm saying? They get that that contract together, and you
this
go.
This is one of those other languages you speak. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Talking football, and I'm not even a big football fan.
I was like, words.
I'm using context.
There are Raiders
clues.
And Dolphins and backs on corners. I'm like, what
Miami
is happening?
Dolphins, Atlanta Falcons. I'm just talking like I literally look at. Like when you look at sports and how they have marquee players, and you know, like they'll be like, you know, this particular person plays for this team and we going to go see this person. That's what happens when they put a person in the show.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're going to go see this show because Audra McDonald is in the show.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, it kind of basically happened. I was on the tour, the Aida tour. I replaced Merle Dandridge was the standby Aida and I replaced her. I was there on that tour for about a year and then, they said, oh, they're going to bring Toni Braxton in to play Aida. And would I come to New York to be the standby? Because a lot of times, a lot of pop stars, movie stars, they're not doing that full 8-show week. They got other stuff to do.
Right.
So they brought me in to do the matinees and to do like press performances. A lot of times standbys don't just, they don't just stand by. They also promote the show while the show is going. They go out and they sell tickets while the show is going. So, yeah, so that's when I officially moved to New York, when I came in to standby for Toni Braxton. So, and then in between the pop stars, I would be Aida. Between Deborah Cox, Michelle Williams, I would be Aida, or I would be Aida on the matinees,
Are y'all picking up all these names? Because I'm just like, I got a basket full. I'm like, oh, the luxury.
Can we get into this manicure, though? This manicure.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Darling.
Auntie Seika likes my nails, y'all. It's no big deal.
My little itty bitty fingers. I'm high. Just pretty.
You have gorgeous hands. Don't even. Don't even. What, okay, so I want to ask about, sort of out of your career of like, because you've been able to do like a lot of both film, TV, and theater all kind of together. Like,
which is difficult.
Once
people find out that you can sing, they automatically think that you can't act. So people don't have a lot of vision. People who are visionaries don't necessarily have vision. They think they do. Fascinating.
Well, that's kind of my question for you is like, what, out of those three mediums, like, is there one that you always, like, is there, like, how do those all function for you in different ways? Like, what do you get out of film? What do you get out of TV? What do you get out of doing, like, theater? And is there one that is particularly close to your heart now? Like,
that's a good question. I like how you ask that, because a lot of people say, if you had to make a choice, which would you do?
No, like,
and like, I never want to say make one. I like to say,
check cuts evenly for all of them, you know?
Right.
Hey.
Exactly. They're each different apples. You like apples, oranges, and pineapples, and you want to have all of them in your life. You don't be like, I refuse to have a pineapple ever again.
Right.
Apples.
Exactly.
You want your salad cut however, your fruit salad, your curry, whatever.
That's
you
know? Your mango.
Your Come mango. On, yes, mango.
I'm Come on now.
Yeah.
Black people own mangoes. Yeah. It's just official. Yeah. It's our fruit.
I did a talk on my YouTube channel called the Mango Method for self-esteem and on my Seikon Talks on YouTube. So check that out. I'll give a little advice.
Listen, I'm trying to let y'all know.
Juicy mango.
Yes. Listen, how many can we get? Just give us all, just sing the rest of it. So the question was, you know, so, out of these three, like, you know, what do they each bring to you? And can we please have the answer sung to us?
Yes.
Just serenade us with your answer. I'm wondering if she's going to do it. I'm wondering.
Put her on the spot.
Acting brings me peace.
No. That's enough. I'm just searching
you. I really enjoy, I would say, as a kid, at the same time, like I said, I wanted to be Sophia Loren. When we got our very first, I'm mature now. I'm old now. I'm vintage. So when we got our first VCR in our house, I was like, we got a VCR. My stepdad, God rest his soul, he brought home this video cassette and it was this movie with Sophia Loren in it. And she would be having on these skirts and the bosoms all in the crochet, you know, the crocheted waist and the
her décolletage.
Yes, and the eyeliner for the gods. And she would be just running through the hills and cussing people out in Italian. And I was like, what is this? I was like, I want to do that. You know, like watching film, watching the just the cinematography of it and Spike Lee movies and Ernest Dickerson, just like seeing all of this stuff, I was like, I want to be on film. That was when I first really wanted to, I was like, I want to be on film.
So does it still hold that magic for you?
It, you know, when you see it and when you're doing it, it holds that magic. But real life is real life, right? And unlike people who work a 9-to-5 who sort of, people who work a 9-to-5 who may, say if you're on a job for 10 years, right? I could count, there's some Broadway people who may be on the show for a long time. You know who you're dealing with. You know who you're going to see every day. You sort of go through every day dealing with each of those people. And, you know who the devils are. You know where the angels are. You know how to work it.
But
when you are, yeah, how to navigate, exactly. But when you are on different gigs every 3 months, every 2 weeks, every, there's so many different people that you're interacting with constantly. That can be very stressful. Like the interaction of just, you know, different people. How are they going to, you know, the different personalities, how are they going to interact with me? That sort of thing. So you can, I love the medium. But there's always just a new set of maneuvering that you have to do on each job, you know, as far as, singing goes, I really enjoy when I'm rehearsed and I got a great band or the track is good. I love the feeling of, I love the feeling that I get when I sing. I love to sing. And then when it's all put together in musical theater, you know, there's nothing like a big old number, 11 o'clock number where you're singing this big note and the audience is watching and the steam is coming out the thing, you know, and the lights.
Like in
and
Wicked?
The, yes, like in Wicked.
Like in Wicked.
You know, and it's, you know, there's nothing that can sort of replace that, that energy of a thousand people in a room all watching the same show at the same time and really just enjoying it. But I think because I've been sort of doing a lot more film and TV lately, that's been a little bit more my passion. And I'm figuring out how to manage myself better in a set life type of world. Because when you're working, everybody is not your friend. But everybody is not your enemy either. Everybody has things to do. People, I'll take being on Scandal, for example. That was probably one of the happiest sets I've ever been on. You could tell everybody there was very well adjusted. They enjoyed their job. You know, you pull into the parking lot, you see a Maserati right here, a Hyundai right here. It was interesting seeing how really, some really rich people that live really low key lives. And then some people just bawling, popping, doing whatever, right? So, and then being on set with these people and they're talking about their kids and they're talking about, they're asking you how you're doing and they're very, you know, and then as soon as like, cut, it's a wrap. It's like, time to go. They're gone. They're not out to have drinks later that night. They're not, they get home to their husband, get home to their wife, get home to their kids, get home to go write that new movie they're trying to do. Everybody's very focused. So everybody's chummy all day, but then they're focused and they're leaving and you can't necessarily take it personally. You know what I mean? So the more that I've been able to do, the more I've been able to sort of, just get more comfortable with being in different rooms. Like, first, my first episode of Scandal, I'm the FBI director, and I walk into the room, and it's like the cast, right? It's like the president, the fixer, the cat, like, and I'm walking in like, I have things to say, you know what I mean? But I'm like, oh my God, it's Kerry Washington.
Especially you know when you've been a fan of the show.
But we couldn't see it.
And I'm like, oh my God, it's Kerry Washington. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a human being, and I'm like, oh my God, it's Kerry Washington. So, but I have to be like, then I'm the FBI. You know what I mean? When you're auditioning, you like, I'm about to kill this.
Yeah.
And they're like, you got the part. And you're like,
oh, now I have to do it.
You're like, what? I got the, oh, Lord. You know what I mean? God. Like, and then I auditioned with fake scripts. So I had no idea that I was going to be the FBI director. I didn't know until I was on the plane on my way.
Audition
with fake scripts.
They give you fake scripts, honey.
Yeah, they do that.
A lot of big popular shows and
you're
a lot
an
of
elevated level. I love it.
Popular shows, sci-fi especially, they really give you fake scripts, fake titles. Because you're not emailing nothing that's going to say Star Trek on it. Like, you can be emailing something and it says, you know, intergalactic lady. And you're like, okay. And then you read the sides and you're like, I killed him with my source. And I'm a sorcerer. And I blah, blah, blah.
Cast.
And
cast.
Then later on, they're like, you get a call back and they're like, so this is Star Trek. And you're like, Star Trek.
Right.
Like, yeah. Things are not, like you don't know until, like, you booked it and they know it's you. Then they'll send you the real script.
Yeah. On March 10th, 2005.
Y'all all in this Wikipedia.
Listen, because it's important.
I hope this date is right.
It's important.
It sounds about right.
Eddie said it. So if it's wrong, it's Eddie, not me.
Yeah. Eddie's our historian.
I just, because the musical theater girl and me is just so pressed.
Yes.
And
what was that moment like? I mean, like,
right. Let me just say this.
Was it like, I am that girl? Or is
Let's
it like.
Rewind. Mm-hmm. Let's rewind. Let's rewind. In like October of 2004, I had earlier that year I had released an EP. I was like, oh, I'm trying to do my music thing, and these auditions came through, and my agent was like, we want you to go to New York. You have three auditions. I was back in Georgia. Mm-hmm. You have three auditions, and two, I forgot what the other two were, and one of them was Wicked, and they were like, we really want you to focus on this one of the ones that was like black girl. It was like black girl high school student. Acting mm-hmm. crazy, something. I don't know.
Bubbly black girl.
What it was. So then I started listening to the Wicked music, and I was like, hold on. Mm-hmm. I remember I had a little silver Beetle, the new Beatles. I was whipping my Beetle, and I was just like, I have a connection with this. I told them, I said, listen, you guys, they want me to learn five songs in 5 days. I can't learn these songs and then be good killing it on these other two auditions. I said, I'm going to scrap these and I'm going to focus on this Wicked thing. And they're like, well, you know, I don't know. Because, you know, they're looking at a black girl.
Right.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And yeah. I think that as much as they believe in me, I think they felt like, you know, the chances are not quite as, right. You should probably, let's still just try to focus on the other two and make the trip worth it. And I said, I'm telling you guys, I need to focus on this music. So let me just focus on this. And so I didn't audition for those other shows. I went up there. I auditioned, and even before I left, I did like a little, I had some friends, we did like a little makeup test photo shoot because I didn't want any kind of deniability to happen. And, I ended up getting the part to be the standby for, Elphaba and Wicked. And, I'll never forget when I started rehearsals, it was, Adina's last sort of, that's how old I am, honey, you guys. This is original OG Adina Menzel. It was her last couple of weeks, and like maybe a couple of weeks before I would be technically deemed ready, mm-hmm. she had an accident and everybody was talking about it. I literally had gone up the street to get something to eat or something. Mm-hmm. And I came back and there were ambulances around the theater. I was like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And she had fallen. I was like, what is going on? What did I just sign up for? I remember Shoshana Bean ended up finishing her last show. She was the standby, and then Shoshana became Elphaba, and then I became the standby. So yes, I guess sometime in March was the first time I had like a scheduled performance that I went on, but I was ready and rehearsed and all that stuff like well before then. But I don't remember my first performance as Elphaba. I don't remember specific ones. I just remember in general that I just always was praying to God that I not have an aneurysm on this thing with this broom and this cherry picker up in the air, because you would just be like, it's just like
that. Well, that leads me to a question.
That's a lot of saying.
It's y'all. A lot, and just lot. The career that you've had, like the last 15 mm-hmm. some years. Mm-hmm. I just want to ask you about sustainability and like being able to sustain a career, being in these shows where you vocally have to do all these crazy things, like physically, and also just the highs and lows of this business. And how do you have like a spiritual practice or something that keeps you grounded where you're able to just kind of roll with it and be able to move from thing to thing?
Well, this is a wonderful question. This is something I talk about a lot on my podcast, Saycon Talks, is wellness. Mm-hmm. I talk about that a lot because I read younger than I am, right? So I tend to get cast younger than I am. So then there I always am with people 10, 15 years younger than me. And they're like 5, 6, and 7. And I'm like, now hold on now. 6 and 7.
5, 6, and 7.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
So I've learned I can't, you, if you are going to really do this, you have to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to eat well. Mm-hmm. You have to foam roll, do some yoga,
right.
work out, whatever it is that you need to do, you have to do what you need to do to maintain yourself. You know, the voice is a very fragile thing, and anything from bad eating, heartburn, different things like that really affect the voice.
Yeah.
A lot of drinking, you know, I know there's a couple of people that I know that can drink you under the table and still howl all day. I've never been that girl. Mm-hmm. I've never been that one that can just drink and then sing the next day. I've just never been that one. So I, you know, as a result, I kind of became like a little bit of a nun. I would say this is the thing that made me sway more to wanting to get out of doing so much theater for so long. I've done, I think 10 Broadway shows and tours altogether. That's a lot.
That's a lot of life.
Step on our necks. Just step on them. Step on
casually.
Our necks.
Casually.
I believe 10.
Give or take, darling,
who even knows with off-Broadway?
Well, I'm bringing it up to say that that's a lot of time to be like maintaining yourself.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
When you do musicals, especially if you're replacing in a musical, this is the thing. My first few shows, I was a replacement. I was the first thick chocolate, Mimi on the tour. They had Mimis, but Mimis tend to be more of a specific look, ambiguous look, you know.
Light skin.
Exactly. So, and tiny. You know what I mean? I showed up with thickums and all that. And there I was, Mimi on the, you know, on the tour.
Sang them under.
Well, I'm bringing this up to say that when you're the lead in a musical and everybody's like, bye, we're going to the party. You're like, you going home to drink some water and sit down somewhere.
Because you got
to
do it again the next night.
Yes, because you got to do it again the next night. And the kids, honey, the boards, the internet, all that stuff had just started. And them kids was vicious on the line. Who is this? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, can we cuss on here?
I've been on a
I'm trying not to cuss thing lately. So
even just, so saved.
Even in my daily, my day to day life, I've been working on that.
We support either, but you know, honey, feel free.
Look,
live your most truth.
And it was calling me all kinds of names on, you know, at one point. And so like just knowing that you have to sort of maintain yourself to do the show. It's not like, so that I would say the thing with like concert dance, I like to compare with concert dance and with like, the pop star life, right? Pop star life, if there's a Beyonce concert, there's not going to be 8 Beyonce concerts.
Right.
There's no way that Beyonce is going to do 8 full concerts. There might be 4 concerts that week.
Yeah.
The same with concert dance. There's not going to be 8. They're not going to, the human body just
doesn't.
But somehow with the way that musical theater is set up, for some reason, the powers that be think that the human body can just 8 shows a week. 8 shows a week, right? So, which is why I've never held judgment. I know a lot of people would be like, during the time when I was a standby, and people were like, you standby, they don't do 8 shows, but a real diva would do 8 shows. And I'm like, slow down. I've never.
Well, and the music and the industry has changed so much.
The industry is so different. Back in the day when
Julie Andrews.
Yeah, whoever.
Those are the famous ones.
Yeah, when
Julie Andrews, and Cheetah Rivera.
Exactly. Those famous divas were doing this 8 shows a week. There were like 3 networks, CBS, ABC, right. and NBC. Mm-hmm. Now there's like hundreds of networks. There's social media. There's so much promo, life, everything, microwave. Even literally the time that you have to prepare your food when you were Julie Andrews in 1955 is a different time that you have to prepare your food now. So, but people expect you, oh, your food is ready in 5 minutes. You're supposed to eat it and hit it and do this show, but your human body still think it's 1955. Mm-hmm. So like it's like a different thing to like maintain your body and maintain yourself to be able to try to do all of these shows. So for me, like getting a chance to do TV and film has like really long hours as well. But there may be a day or two where you're not in a scene that's being shot. Mm-hmm. So then now you have a chance to like get some rest or go to the club or go do something to enjoy your life a little bit more. So like I'm really about optimizing my lifestyle and just making myself as healthy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as you can keep yourself healthy, amen, that would be number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Well, listen, y'all, we have to get into these hot topics, although I could talk to Auntie Seikhan all day. Yes. And I will, you named it, so I will never call you anything else. But Auntie right. Seikhan. And anytime, oh, like and anytime anyone brings you up, I'm going to say, that's my auntie. It's like, no big deal.
Yeah, like, it's like, you don't open we're very a can of worms.
Seriously.
Man.
But you know what? But we have to claim it now, so that's what it is.
Like, yeah, my aunt should be on Broadway. I'm sorry.
Hello. Hello. I believe it was 10.
Right, my aunt did 10 Broadway shows.
First, I do want to have a moment of silence and a moment of recognition of a loss we've had in the Broadway community, which is that of Mr. Danny Tidwell, who passed away in a car accident at 35 years old. Yeah. He was an original cast member of Memphis the Musical on Broadway. I'm going to read this note. Debbie Allen posted this on social media. Danny Tidwell, our beautiful dancing genius, prince among paupers, you are in God's ensemble. We will always speak your name with love and respect. See you on the other side. Love, Mama D. So if we can just take a quick moment of silence to remember Danny Tidwell and all that he did for our community. All right, Ashe. Thank you.
Ashe.
We also have to let y'all know about, not to move on to that, just to happy things, but as far as folks who are continuing to be with us and to create amazing work, we got a shout out to, you know, I don't know this lesser known actor, I don't know, she's kind of on the rise right now, Felicia Rashad.
Not sure if you've heard of her.
Or like, you know, this other actor, once again, like on the rise, like coming out, Billy Porter.
I believe it is, maybe.
And then, of course, Michael McElroy, along with many others, will be performing in the Broadway Inspirational. Hello. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. That was a very big river, and we love to see it. Sorry, I should have said that. Anyway, but the Broadway Inspirational Voices Gala will be happening, and we want to make sure that y'all go see that. I'm trying to find the date right now, and of course, my phone is not working.
Oh, wait, I think it happened.
It was on March 2nd.
It happened, yes, it happened. Yeah. It happened March
2nd. Oh, they did just have a gala, yes. Have been posting about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the honoree.
So shout out to everybody who... Yes, who was honored?
Oh, Disney Theatrical Productions for their commitment to diversity and
inclusion.
Inclusion. Yes.
They gave me my first check on Broadway.
Oh, look at the blood of Jesus, full circle.
Disney. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Rent was a tour, but I've been on Broadway. I was on Aida. Yeah, that was a Disney show.
Yep. Yes, sure was. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Disney.
They have all
the ABC. That's Disney. That's all the same.
Look, I want a Disney check.
I wouldn't mind it.
You better whisper. I want a Disney.
Yeah, okay.
And also, there is a new musical that's coming to the new group. It's called Black No More. It's let's see. This has a book by John Ridley, who wrote 12 Years a Slave, which is amazing. The score is going to be by Tariq Trotter from The Roots, and it's going to star Brandon Victor Dixon and Jennifer Damiano. Black No More is adapted from George S. Schuyler's satirical Harlem Renaissance era novel set in June 1928 in New York City. The musical follows Howard University graduate Dr. Junius Crookman as he promotes a mysterious machine that promises to remove the burden of race from any person of color by turning them white. Crookman's plan to solve the American race problem. That is going to be...
Has this show been in development? I feel like I've heard of the show before.
I know. I feel like I've heard of it too.
Maybe like this summer.
Workshops and readings and things.
Yeah. This sounds very familiar.
Yeah.
That sounds so interesting.
Yes.
I have no idea what that's going to be, but it sounds like... It's going to be an interesting show.
Yes. And Brandon Victor. If the new group is listening, please send my comments. Thank you so much.
And Brandon is amazing in everything that I've seen him in.
BVD.
Yeah. Yes. So that's exciting. Anything else? What else has been going on? Girl from North Country opened.
Yes, sure
recently
did.
This week.
Sure did.
What else?
Oh, Ayanna George shines at the Jason Michael Webb and Friends concert at the Apollo Cafe.
Tell us about it.
Because I saw the clip of her singing, what is the name? The Chaka Khan song.
Through the Fire.
List singing.
Let me tell you.
down.
That was a wonderful concert. And I was at the after.
Come on, after.
After party.
That's right.
Because she on that TV and film now. No, she go to the after party. No,
it was like, come through the house, come through. You know? No, it was really wonderful. Really wonderful. I was so happy I was able to be there. Just seeing Jason and how he's grown as an MD and just everything that he's doing. I was just super pleased to be there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Amazing.
The singing was ridiculous.
Listen, I saw the clip on her Ayana's Instagram page. My God. Oh. Just
singing down.
She killed it.
For no reason.
There's an anointing there.
Yes. Clearly.
Yes. Absolutely.
Clearly.
God bless her.
Also, Abhinav Mensah-Bansu joins the cast of Jocelyn Bio's world premiere comedy, Nollywood Dreams.
Yes.
Nollywood Dreams.
I am so ready. I am present. I am ready.
Yes. Let me tell y'all, I love Jocelyn. I probably get on her nerves. I'm such a little nerdy fan of hers. Whenever she got something coming out, I'll be like, I love you. I'm texting and tweeting her. I love her so much.
I promise you,
And I've done a couple of workshops of Nollywood Dreams. And so I cannot wait. And I saw a production that was at, I forgot what theater it was, but I'm really excited about this. I love Schoolgirls.
Schoolgirls came on
PBS, if you want to try to find it on PBS.
Oh, yeah, it sure is.
Jocelyn is, she's writing, she's an actress, she's funny. Yeah. She's killing it. And I'm just excited.
Theater and TV.
Yeah. Listen, Russians all.
And sometimes people think we're the same person, and that's hilarious. You be a chocolate actress lady, and people think you're the same person.
Yeah.
Well, I cannot wait.
That is amazing. Well, maybe we should transition, because we got to get to I Said What I Said.
Oh, yeah. Let me go on
right now.
Eddie transition. Has an I Said What I Said.
Transition.
This.
Is right,
how long are we going to get?
Well, we do it first. Don't tell us what it is. We're going to guess. So for all that don't know, Eddie's going to give us a monologue from a play.
Yeah.
And then we have to guess the title and who wrote it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock because I need it.
You know, Barbara sits up there at that front desk and thinks she's running shit, but she ain't. She sits there all damn day being nosy in and out of other folks' business, and she thinks she's the head nigga in charge. But I had to tell her fat ass today that she wasn't running shit. She likes to sit up there and run her damn mouth all damn day with her nosy ass. And like I said, I walked right up to her today and had to put her in her place. I just had to let her know, you know, that she wasn't running shit. She sit right up there jabbering on that phone for half a damn hour looking like she in charge of something. But I walked right up to her this morning and I said, Barbara, you ain't running shit around here. I told her. I said, Barbara, you need to know something, and I'm going to be the one to tell you. I looked her right in the face when I got into work today and saw her sitting up there with her chest poked out and that damn raggedy-ass blue sweater she likes to hang across the back of her damn chair. And I said, Barbara, there is something that needs to be said, and I'm going to be the one to say it. I went right into work this morning and saw her sitting there and marched my fat ass right up into her face and said, Barbara, that's it.
A reading.
First of all.
Come on, the acting.
This performance. The acting. Darling.
Thank you.
Down.
Thank you.
First of all.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have 60 seconds on the clock.
Right.
For us to
see what you think it is.
I could not. Okay,
so we get
the only thing that. So initially, I was like, "Is it some August Wilson?" But then I was like, "I've seen like every August Wilson play except for two," and I was like, "Could it have been in one of the two that I didn't see?"
I'm gonna say
like,
no.
It was a little
and
too.
I was like, that Barbara. Yeah, I was like,
right.
that ain't an August Wilson. 3 seconds. Is it written by a woman?
No.
Okay, it's written by a man.
Okay.
Is it a contemporary piece?
Yes.
Okay.
What is contemporary? 90s, 2000s, early 2000s?
Tens? Teens?
2010s.
Well, maybe like early 2000s into the teens.
Broadway or
off-Broadway?
Off-Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Contemporary off-Broadway by a man. Yes.
Did it star Tanya Pinkins?
No.
Mm. Shout out to Tanya Pinkins.
Look, love her.
Another day.
Right. Okay, that's it.
All right.
I don't think we're gonna get this one.
I don't think so.
It was Booty Candy.
Robin O'Hara.
I love Booty Candy.
I know, I was in it. It's my favorite. It's
I
one
love
of my faves.
Booty Candy so much. How did I not?
So good.
That's like one of my.
Which character did that one?
The mom in the Happy Meal scene.
Yes.
Which theater did that? It was
Playwrights.
Yes, Playwrights and Rising. I love that so much.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Booty Candy.
Booty Candy.
Oh, I was, dang, I feel bad I didn't get it. I thought it was something I hadn't seen. If I hadn't seen it, I was going to give no credit for that.
Actually, speaking of Robert O'Hara, I saw
Booty Candy twice.
Candy, I went like 6 times when I was an undergrad because they did the show in Philly too.
I guess no credit. I should have guessed that.
But speaking of Robert O'Hara, did we talk about Audra and Robert O'Hara going to be doing a play?
No.
Ooh. Yeah.
Audra McDonald.
Audra McDonald's going to be in Streetcar Named Desire at Williamstown Theater Festival this summer.
And Robert.
Our Robert is directing.
Yes.
So we got to get that.
Robert is directing.
So
and don't get me to lying. Who is in with her?
I loved her so much in Porgy and Bess.
Oh my
God. Let me tell you,
oh
I was God. Weeping. My second act.
I mean,
weeping.
Yes, and Lady Day.
I'm so ashamed. I didn't get to see it.
I didn't get to see it either, but I saw it online.
It's
on HBO. Oh, I
need to pull that up.
No, yeah,
because her in Lady Day is.
Let me tell you, I saw Lady Day first preview. First preview. Destroyed. I was sitting.
Oh, God, I'm so mad.
Were you in the front row?
It.
Did you get to catch her when she fell? Oh, when she fell. Sorry, she. There's a moment she falls, and everyone has to catch her, and you know that.
Oh,
it was good. It was very good.
Let me tell you something about Audra McDonald. I was watching *Raising in the Sun* the movie.
Oh yeah, I saw that on Broadway.
Listen,
with Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
Come on,
Audra,
Diddy
and Felicia.
And
Felicia.
Sanaa.
Ooh,
yes.
Sanaa, my God. Yes, they had everybody.
Honey, that was a cast.
So look, I saw the movie version, right? And right in the beginning where she goes, baby, we ain't got it. Like when the boys ask her for the school trip money. Mm-hmm. When I tell you I had to pause that shit right there, it just bawled. I was because the way she
ain't got it.
And you know what it means. You know what it means.
She ain't got it.
She said that with her womb. I know she did. Like, it was... Ooh.
My God.
Yeah.
Well, I do have to give a shout-out to, for this production in the summer, with the incredible 6-time Tony Award winner, Audra McDonald, will be also Bobby Cannavale. We'll be joining her and Carla. I'm not going to disrespect this woman by saying G-U-G-I-N-O. They will co-star as well.
That's
so
amazing.
Make sure that y'all are at Williamstown Theater Festival this summer.
I'm assuming she's playing...
Take a little trip.
Playing Blanche.
Blanche.
Yeah.
Ooh, Blanche.
You have
to take a trip.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Listen,
Amtrak,
Acela. Might be worth a trip.
A Broadway black trip. We'll all take it together.
Acela Express.
We would love to see it.
Yes.
Well, we have a few more minutes. Can we ask you more questions?
Sure.
Like, just like fun rapid fire.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Quick rapid fire question.
Okay.
What do you like to eat in the morning?
I like... Y'all gonna laugh. Y'all gonna be like, what? Oh, I like lime water, avocado toast.
We'll have to see it.
Sometimes scrambled eggs.
Come on now.
Fruit bowls.
Yes.
Like fruit, like non-cereal fruit bowls that give you the cereal vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like fruit bowls with nuts and
cinnamon.
And a little crunch.
Yes.
What is your go-to, I absolutely have to have this, I can't go anywhere without skincare product? Because we need to know.
Dudu Osun African Black Soap.
Sis, I got that in my bathroom right now.
Yes. Let me just say this. Just because you take put a cat in the oven don't make it biscuits, right? So black people, you might be living in America. But I'm telling you, Irish Spring is not for you. Dudu Osun, this African Black Soap, is the real soap. If you think you got acne, you got issues, you got this and that and the other, get you some Dudu Osun and it will clear it right on up.
You just need
the soap from where you from. That's for your skin.
Okay.
That's for your DNA.
Because that's the balm in Gilead.
Yes.
All right now. Come on now. What's this word on this Sunday?
And you got to keep it dry because it melts quickly. You know how people let the soap dish get all wet.
You got to put it up. Little container.
And it'll you got to really.
Keep it dry.
Put it away.
Keep it dry, yeah.
What rehearsal studio can you not go into without getting a little reminiscent?
Aw.
Because I feel like we all have, those places.
I won't say reminiscent, but I'll say every time I'm at when I start going through all the security guys, I just smile and wink and they be like, hey, they don't even check my ID. So whenever I'm there, I feel like I know something good is going on if I'm there. We actually rehearsed there a bit for this movie I just did.
You were right next door to us.
And then hilariously, one of the stars in the movie was outside and people knew they were out there, and then we had to move to another location.
Who has been so far your favorite on screen lover, partner, whatever that was? Little juicy details.
My husband in the movie, Double Play. I shot this movie in Curacao. You guys Google this man. He is, very handsome Swedish actor, but he's of African descent, but he grew up in Sweden. Alexander Kareem. He's like the Denzel Washington of Sweden. Right, he's like huge. But I think Ernest Dickerson had met him on some other movie, or I think Bosch or some show that he worked on. I don't know. Anyway, 5 minutes. And he's just a wonderful actor. He's so good. Yes. And he's easy on the eyes. He's a family man, beautiful family. His wife and kids were on the island with us.
Bless the Lord.
Whenever he wasn't on set, he would be there with his family. And he just was killer. He was just a killer actor. He played this playboy taxi driver who just loves life. Lala Anthony was in the movie. She was like his favorite whore at the whorehouse. I was the long suffering wife.
Period.
You know, and I'd be like, go Lala. Where's the money? What's going on? I had an accent. It was my full circle
come on, accent.
Moment. You know, I talked about wanting to have an accent and running around town. So I'm running around town with my son and telling him how he didn't have money to help take care of the children. Right. It was wonderful. Right. But yeah, he was just one. He was a wonderful co-star. And I must also say, Cy Gouja, who I knew from Atlanta, we ended up on Broadway together in Fela. We were both like, can you believe we were on Broadway together? Because we had been doing theater. We did Godspell together. We had been doing theater like for a long time. So then we were like, are we on Broadway originating? Mm-hmm. And it's Fela, because a lot of people didn't even know who Fela was. We were like, what is our life? It was like the perfect example of like a Malcolm Gladwell book. Like it was like the tipping point, like where things, the right people at the right time in the right place. And so I shout out Cy Gouja. He's in Moulin Rouge right now. Amazing. Which I need to go see.
So. And last question really quickly.
Yes.
What is your biggest fear as an actress, and how do you overcome it?
My biggest fear is usually is forgetting my lines. I overcome it by drowning out my surroundings, which might come across as rude to people who are not thinking about what you're about to do. They're just like so happy to see you. Like, hey, girl, what's up? And you're like, hey. You know, I smile and then I look at my lines, you know, like I really have to focus on my lines. I think I suffer from a little bit of ADD. So I'm not the one at the audition that can kiki with you be talking about, finish. Let me, when I come out, we can talk, we can whatever. But I'm not built like that. In fact, when people talk to me too much at an audition, I think, are you trying to sabotage me?
Oh, me too.
Like I'd be like,
that's the devil.
You know,
so. But not everyone is a friend and not everyone is an enemy.
Exactly. But not everyone is an enemy. Exactly.
Because you gave me them gems.
So, but I'm them up. People like to transfer their energy sometimes. Like,
they do. Yes, they do.
Exactly. I really want to say to you guys, I'm so happy and so pleased that I had a chance to be here today.
Oh, my gosh.
Drew, I jumped on him to make him dance with me when I saw him at the opening of... Chicken Wing King. Hot Wing King. I saw him at the opening of Hot Wing King.
King, that's great.
And
too.
I just love Broadway Black. Off Book, shout out to you guys. Yes. Thank you for letting me come and be a part of this. Make sure you guys subscribe to Saycon Talks. It's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, it's on all those podcast places you want to look for something. It's there. I've just finished my first season of it, and I'm going to be launching my second season of Saycon Talks. So look for Saycon Talks.
Amazing. And thank you for all of the gems. You've just been dropping them.
Thank you.
This entire episode, and for being here with us.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Off Book presented by Broadway Black. I am York Walker.
I'm Ian Field Stewart. They, them, she, her.
Edward Moweta at The Jokes on Eddie.
And I'm Saycon Simbla.
Woo! See y'all later, y'all.
Thank you.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.